Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And today, we're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, like we do every day.
Every fucking day, we're here talking about the Thunder. We're the one of the only daily Thunder podcasts, and we're the only non-tanking Thunder podcast. So if you came here to hear about basketball stats and how awesome our teams are doing, then stay tuned.
Yeah, and we are the only daily Thunder podcast, unless you count people who only work 3 days a week. So in the end, that's why we're here, because we love the Thunder every day, not just when it's convenient. And today we're going to talk about the final stretch of the schedule. The last 2 days we talked about the upcoming 20 games and then the following 14 games. And today we're going to talk about that final stretch. We're going to talk about the upcoming game against the Mavs. That's tomorrow, and we are pumped to have some basketball back going again. SGA's 538 article, part 3. The last 2 days we covered the first two parts of it. Today we're going to talk about his passing. We're going to talk about our fan of the game, and then we're also going to talk about the players out there in the G League. Last two episodes, we talked about the youth, the new players, then we talked about the vets and the experience and the returning players, and today we're going to talk about what's going on down in Orlando. Sam Presti is down there, so you better bet it's important, and so we can't wait to talk about it. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is the Crazy Podcast Guy. Here we go.
Yeah, Mark, like you said, we have a game tomorrow night. This is huge. We're excited about having games. I'm excited about having more content to talk about and dissect, especially coming up with the All-Star break. But like Mark said, we have an opportunity to talk about our G League during this episode. It is something that I geek out a lot about. It's something I get excited about, something I break down the coaches, the coaching styles, the way they develop the players, and all the players in themselves. This is going to be exciting talk.
Absolutely, man. And you know what we're really excited, like you said, is getting to see this team play some more. But the G League has continued to play, and they've been playing great. We'll get to that a little bit more. But before we go on to talk about the schedule, why don't you tell me a couple of the highlights of the G League, and then, like I said, we'll get into the specifics later on in the show.
All right, Mark. Let's get right into some of the big surprises and people that I was excited about. Like since day one, I have made myself clear that the two-way contract player that I feel like can make the biggest impact at the end of the year is Moses Brown. He has not disappointed in the G League. I've seen a lot of memes out there that compare him to Shaq in the G League, the way that he is able to just gobble up rebounds, the way he is able to dominate, and the way he's able to get open for or the point guard or shooting guard to be able to pass him the ball is amazing. Somebody else that I love to see, especially we'll just stay on track with guys that have gotten playing time with the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. I am excited to have Poku learning how to play the game there in the G League. This is something that I am personally feel like that he needs more and more time down there. He needs to be able to prove that he can continuously have good passing games, that he continuously get the hole, and that he can continuously shoot well. He is an incredibly tall guy. He's 7 foot tall. He's from Serbia. For me, looking at the way that he plays, I feel like there's an opportunity for him to do some amazing things in the NBA, especially with the fact that even next year, with the draft the way it is and all the college players that will be coming out, Poku will be the fifth youngest player in the NBA next year if everything goes as normal. So knowing that ahead of time is something that's very special, knowing that this guy has a lot more time to be able to mature. And, you know, honestly, even if he ends up spending the next 6 months with the G League and working out with him, that would be huge. Now, the one player I will love to be able to see on the Oklahoma City Thunder this year is Omar Yurtseven. I feel like he is ready to play in the NBA. He's from Uzbekistan. He played at Georgetown. I feel like he's one of those guys that could step up right away and make a huge impact. He has a shot. He can pull outside the lane. He's not afraid to shoot it, and he can get to the hole incredibly well. He's another seven-footer that plays center, but I feel like he has a lot of ball handling skills, and he can do a lot of things that I've been really impressed with so far.
Definitely, man. He's been watching the highlights from the G League has been really spectacular. Watching this team, you know, become one group, and watching Ty Jerome really play well and then leave and come up to the Thunder, watching him play the last two games, I can really tell that the process that all the players are going through right now is incredibly important to their development. You know, and Poku had really a lot of trouble at first up here with the Thunder, and going down to the Blue gave him that opportunity to refine his craft, and now he's going to be the better player for it when he comes back. Now let's talk about, like we said, there's a bunch of upcoming games. The first episode, we talked about the next 20. We thought they were all winnable. And then after that, we counted 14 winnable games. We counted 9 winnable games out of the next 14. And I'm sorry, we counted 11 winnable games out of the next 14. And then what we were able to do was we were able to separate this last stretch of the schedule. Okay, we play the Warriors twice back-to-back. We play the Kings back-to-back. Then we play the Jazz and the Clippers. So out of those 6 games, I'm looking at it and I'm saying we're going to be, you know, that's 4 hard games and 2 games against the Clippers, which are both winnable. So that's going to be the hardest stretch of the second half of the schedule, is right before the end of the season. And when you think about that, that really means that it's important that we go out and we get these wins immediately. Because if we wait, we're not going to be able to win our way into the playoffs. Or maybe we can, but we can't count on that anyway.
Yeah, the last game of the seasons, the 2 last games of the season, Utah and then Clippers, I feel like it's going to be incredibly difficult. But this is going to be a point that we need to win. If we can get anywhere near that 12-8 record or 14-6 or whatever the record is in the next 20 games, I feel like that would be above par, and it would be around the 4th in the league. And if you take the beginning part of the league, there is only like 4 teams in the West that went 12-8 in the last 10 or 20 games. So if you think about that, that is something to think about and circle. If we can get to that 12-8 mark, I think there's an opportunity for us to be able to be looking at that 8th or even 7th spot in the West, and coming up with the Utah game and coming up with the Clippers game. These are the games that are going to be crucial for us to win, especially the last 2 games of the season. But I do think the way that Golden State is playing right now, and the fact that we play Sacramento twice in a row too, I feel like there is an opportunity to win 3 of the 4 games there, pushing us really close to being able to really sneak in and take that 8th or 7th spot in the West. Again, this is about building a team that is knows how to win, and being able to have a player like SGA lead this team to a young playoff opportunity would be huge, because it's about this young team maturing very quickly.
Absolutely, man. And that's been the real honor of watching this team play, watching the veterans invest everything into this team. And I'm just really, really excited about everything that they've been able to accomplish already. And now that the schedule is lighting up, it's going to be great to see. Our next game is tomorrow night against the Mavericks. The Mavericks are 17-16. They're 9th in the West, so they're not doing as well as everybody anticipated in the preseason, but they have won 2 games in a row, so we know they're on a bit of a roll.
Yeah, Dallas is one of those teams that, for me, it's always a coin flip if they're going to be able to put the ball in the hole. They love to shoot the ball. They love to drive. I feel like their defense is just absolutely amazing. There's just certain things that I look at when I see that we're playing the Dallas Mavericks that, for me personally, I get excited about, because I know there's going to be a lot of film. I know the way they're going to play us on defense, and with the way that Dort is going to have to play on defense on Luka is going to be something incredibly special. I get excited about these things. I know not everybody is totally stoked about being able to play against Dallas, because in a way they're the rivals and they're the team that they used to be able to play cheer for. But the reality is that we have an opportunity to do some serious damage to them. Like Mark said, they've won 2 in a row, but they've won 4 out of the last 5. They only lost to Philly, but they beat Memphis. They beat Boston, lost to Philly, beat Brooklyn, and beat Orlando. So they're ready to play. They're playing some great basketball right now, and it's something that I expect that will continue. So Oklahoma City has a hard game with Dallas, but it's definitely, definitely winnable.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's a great lead into the next section about SGA in the 538 article. Let's focus on that. And definitely, because they bring up Luka here in a part of it, and they compare SGA's game, especially the passing, to Luka's. So, all right. So I think I read part of this the other day, but I'll go ahead and read this section again. SGA is a unique player, as talented as a self-creator that there is in the league, while also possessing an advanced passing game. Okay, he averages 6.4 assists, which is 19th in the league, but you have to also remember, It's been in the middle of a change-up in year, new players, new situations. Our roster has been depleted at certain points. And, you know, I think his assist average could go up significantly, okay? Now check this out. He's one of four players, okay, to be the top two in the drives while also having his teammates average 8.5 more two-pointers and three-pointers per the game off the pass, okay, in the same season. The four other players to be able to do this in the same season was Russ, Harden, Luka, and Ty Lawson, okay? SGA is doing it, though, with 10 less touches on average per game. So there is huge room for him to continue to be able to improve.
Yeah, and I think that's something that as the supporting cast around him gets better, as the supporting cast gets used to getting the ball from Shea and exactly where they want it, and as Shea gets to the point where he starts understanding where the guys want the ball. But something that's, for me, looking at it, is that Shea is a complete passer. Like, all around, if you look at how he is able to pass the ball, whether it's inside the lane or it's on back out to the three-point line, he finds the open man. And that's something that's crucial and critical with a point guard or a shooting guard driving to the hole a lot, is they need to be able to find the open man when it comes down to it. And the way I look at it is who and when he passes the ball, it's the open man. And he finds the open man 8.5% more shots, or he creates more shots, 8.5 more shots a game. And that is something that, if you look at it, it's truly spectacular. He can do that both of the three-point shot and also the two-point shot. So if you look at that, creating an open shot 8.5 times a game for the offense and for our other guys, it's huge. He is one of the best passers in the league, and I think that's something that when I watched a interview with Chris Paul last year, he talked about Shea being able to have a court vision that's very elite and very rare to have, and we're starting to be able to see that. We're starting to be able to see what Chris Paul was talking about when he would just rave about SGA and his ability to get to the hole, ability to find the open man, and as he's getting the ball more in his hands and averaging 30 plus minutes a game, everybody is starting to recognize that Shea is one of those passers that is once in a generational passer. And as that assist goes up per game, and as his supporting cast gets better and matures and learns how to hit that open shot more often, he's going to be able to average, you know, well above 7 assists a game. And that's just something for a point guard and shooting guard that's, you know, incredibly rare, and it's incredibly exciting to be able to see.
Yeah, let me read a little bit more from this article too, right? Defenders focus on SGA scoring, but his ability to manipulate passing lanes separates him from other scoring phenoms. If SGA's scoring is unique, his passing is close to that level, especially in the pick and roll. He anticipates defensive rotations and uses his eyes to create openings. He short circuits defenses with his over-the-top passes. One of 14 players whose teammates attempted 8.5 or more shots per game, like you said. And this all lines up to one thing, just like you said, right? He is an elite passer who is creative and ultimately is someone that makes his teammates better, which is the highest compliment you can have in any sport, really.
Yeah, and I asked Mark last episode, as a coach and a former coach, how in the world would you decide to guard a player like Shea? Now, we've never been in the NBA for coaching-wise purposes, college or anything else like that. We have coached high school basketball, so we have an understanding of if there's a dominant player like Shea you're playing against, how to play against him is very crucial. So if you guys didn't pick that up, turn on the last episode, listen to it, listen to how Mark would break it down, how he would guard him, because it is good information to know so that you can see how teams are actually starting to guard him. And that's exactly how they're guarding him. If you watch the film in the last 10 games, you'll notice that Shea is being guarded differently than most NBA players are being guarded. And it's really interesting because most of it is new stuff for the casual watcher of the Thunder.
I'm going to read one more section. I read this yesterday, but I just feel like in light of some of the stuff we're going to be talking about a little bit later, this should be really reflected on one more time. SGA is built to thrive against grinding playoff defenses with his mid-range and half-court scoring, and the Thunder are structured to build around him. For the young floor general to win a championship, time and patience ought to be the only required factors. I didn't write this. You know what? Louis Zatzman wrote this for 538. Okay? This isn't something that I've made up. Okay? Other people recognize that he is the type of player that you build a championship around. A championship contender around. It blows my mind that the national media can look at all of the empirical evidence and come to a conclusion that is that well-founded and that well-argued out. And all the while, the bastards over at Down to Dunk decide that we are better off trading away, or at least discussing and potentially trading away, SGA, Dort, Bazley, all of this core for picks. Because they want to get that high school, that college freshman that they always have wanted. And I don't even have to say his name, and I don't feel like bringing him into it because he's a person who's a good person, I'm sure. But the truth is, they are bad people. They continue to go out of their way to talk about tearing this team apart, all of it so that they can have their fantasy realized. And if you don't believe me, just listen to what I'm going to play next, okay? It's Mikey and Andrew from Down to Dunk, and they explain why they think potentially trading away Lu Dort, Darius Bazley, and even SGA is the right decision. Why do you think that they come to this conclusion? Is it because they want to be the best team in the West like the Jazz? No. The only reason they want to do this is because the only way they think that they can win championships is if we're like the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Nets. Think about that. If we could be like a LA team or a New York City team, you know why? Because they are the type of people who don't want to play unless the deck is stacked in their favor. They're cheap. And so they believe that that's the way to give themselves the best chance at continuing their career is to throw fits and scream and cry until they get the players they want. And this team is not good enough for them. They say it straight up. And then they go on to talk about tearing this team apart for their own selfish reasons. Trust me, they're selfish. Listen to what they have to say themselves.
Yeah, no, this is what everyone should have in the back of their minds when they hear us talking about tanking and the fact that you really need to hit on one of those picks. Look at the top of the league. And don't make Utah being your point of discussion. Utah is an exception, and Utah. We'll talk about Utah at the end of the season. Maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe Utah will be an exception of the exceptions. But right now, it's the Lakers, two All-NBA players. It's the Clippers. Two All-NBA players, or one and a half, and they lost badly in the playoffs last year. It's not Phoenix. It's the Nets, of course, with three All-NBA caliber players. Mm-hmm. It was the Warriors up until two seasons ago or three seasons ago, where even without KD, they had the Splash Brothers plus Draymond Green. So this is what you need. Shea might be part of the deal. He might be. He might pretty well be number one. Because he blossoms into a James Harden type player and wrecks the league with his pick and roll abilities and 3-point shooting. That may happen. He still needs another guy, and it's not Dort, and it's not Bazley, and most likely it will not be Pokuševski, even if they all have possibilities to improve. Again, I'm sure that Presti will not blink twice if any opportunity to move Muscala, George Hill, Horford, and even maybe part of the young core.
Sure.
Being too attached, and this is something where I made a lot of mistakes in general when I evaluate Thunder players. If a first-round picks come by for Bazley, you need to think about it. For Dort, you really need to think about it because, I mean, You just need to be a little bit more cold and number-based in order to understand if that is a good thing or not. Being, okay, we will not trade Baze and Dort, it's not something this smart.
Yeah, no question.
Well, we have young players. We like them. But if someone likes them more than we do, they are available. I mean, the only player that should be untouchable is Shea. And even Shea, if the right offer comes by, I don't think it will, because it involves either one of the players that are ahead or another young prospect plus a very good pick. And I don't think that Thunder will budge. But everyone is on the table for the right price.
Yeah. Yeah, there's three players on this list I would trade Shea for.
Mark, down to decay is disrespectful to the Oklahoma City Thunder players. Straight up disrespectful. They don't think that these guys are good enough to have a foundation blocks laid. They think that these guys are trash. They would rather trade them for draft picks that are uncertain draft picks just to get the possibility of getting a top three pick. That's all they want. They want to stash as many top three picks as they possibly can in their deck, and we understand that. But what we're saying is if you take out our draft picks out of the next 6 years of the draft and you don't count our draft pick as something that truly counts and you only use the draft picks that we have traded for, I guarantee you this. We're going to get those top three picks over the next few years from other teams. We're not going to always get it from our team, and that is okay because we are okay with getting mid-teens and early 20s draft picks every year for our draft pick, because we're going to let other teams fuck up. And these down to decay guys are disrespectful to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I'm sick of it.
Absolutely. They're why we showed up to the game. They're why we have consistently been, over the last week, ranked right at or toward the top of the 100. Like, it's because people are sick of this shit. They're sick of it. They love this team. They see what we see. When we're putting SGA in the same conversation as Luka, Russ, Harden, and when 538 declares that time and patience should be the only necessary ingredients for a championship, and then they say, well, it doesn't matter, and please don't compare us to the Jazz or the Milwaukee Bucks or the Nuggets, like as if thinking of three teams that are currently great from doing it this way, somehow, well, that's the exception, and that's not good enough for us, because the way that Andrew says it is extraordinary. He just wants extraordinary success. And he says it with so much passion, it's just ridiculous. And I understand what he's saying and what he wishes. But when he says that this team is not good enough, he is doing nothing less than slapping Sam Presti's masterpiece across the face. He is hurting the players. He is hurting the players' families. And we have talked to the players' families about this. It hurts them. And he doesn't care, because all he wants is to advance his own career. He wants to be bigger. And you know what? You don't believe me? Guess what? He just started an NBA show. You know, he's moving on past the Thunder, because you know what? He doesn't really care about the Thunder. All he cares about is his college freshman.
The obsession with college freshmen isn't healthy for this dude. And it's starting to definitely show that having an obsession with college freshmen makes it so that your brain decays. And this dude right here is definitely taking too many stupid pills, and I'm just done with it. I'm done with the way that he talks about our team. I'm done with the way that he talks about our coaching staff. I'm done with the way that he portrays what Sam Presti says in the most negative, horrible way that he possibly can. And then he acts like we're the problem because we're standing up for this team. Fuck you, man. This is about defending the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're worth defending. And when you tell all the Oklahoma City Thunder fans that this team is tanking, you're telling them that this team is not worth watching, and you're inciting a riot in the Oklahoma City Thunder fan community, and it's over. We're done with it. We want to see a change, and that's why we're pushing this, and that's why we've been ranked in the top 150 for almost a week straight now, because people are standing behind us and saying enough is enough to the guys that aren't obeying the rules. And the golden rule is you speak positive about your team, especially living in Oklahoma and being part of the Oklahoma City Thunder community. You speak respectful about these players, coaching staff, and the front office.
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys a little bit more about myself. You know, I used to play a lot of poker. I played online, I played in person, and you know, I wasn't great, but I was good enough to make some good money off of it, right? And my favorite time, my favorite games always were heads up. And so, you know, a lot of people will tell us that we're, you know, we came out of nowhere, nobody expected it, and maybe we didn't even expect our own success. But I'll tell you right now, anybody who had talked to me about this since the beginning understands we have laid out this path and this plan since the beginning. Our whole plan was to get exactly where we were in the month of February because we wanted to be heads up with Down to Dunk. And guess what? We are. There is no other Thunder podcast that's ranked in the top 200. The other ones are barely hanging on to the top 50. Okay? We are one-on-one, heads up, with Down to Dunk. And trust me, they're in no way ready for this. We are going to go at them like they have never seen before. And one of our favorite fans, someone we gave a shout out last time, but this time we're going to upgrade him to the Thunder fan of the day, Thunder Rat Boy. You know, he came along, what, 2 or 3 days ago, I think, and started talking to us. And since then, it's been amazing how much he, like, positivity he's injected into our lives. You know, he lives in South Korea, and he serves our country, and we appreciate that so much, his family and his sacrifice. But when he told us that, you know, those people had been able to convince him that losing was actually a good thing, that, you know, but when he heard us talking, he understood that there is a reason it didn't sit right with him, because it isn't right. You know, that just gave us all this energy. We've already been, we live off of this energy when people come along and tell us these positive things. But when he said that, it was like, you know, if whenever people come and say, like, we were confused, but you helped clarify things, and now I understand that I should be cheering for our team. We're like, that's why we did this. That's why we did this. We never get tired of hearing that, because we're here to convert the unbelievers.
Yeah, Thunder Rat Boy lit a fire under us. To me, this is exactly what we love to hear. You know, he's a brother in arms. I've, you know, made it very clear that I served in the Army, and my wife currently serves in the Army. She's kicking ass at A Man's World. She's a major right now. And so I made it very clear about my viewpoint about respecting our soldiers. And the fact is that we have a lot of Oklahoma City Thunder fans that are soldiers that are in the military. And here's the fact. Is we love it. We love it to hear from our military that are stretched around the United States everywhere, because my wife and I were just like you guys. We grew up in Oklahoma. We spent time in Oklahoma, and then we got moved out, and we've been on the road for the last 12 years. We absolutely love the military life. We're happy that we have an opportunity to do this just like you guys are all across the world. So if you guys are serving, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear about it. I love to talk, shoot the shit with any military personnel. I love to tell you about my experience, about my wife's experiences. This is something that we're, again, very passionate about, and we stand behind our military.
Absolutely, 100%. We support anybody who is sacrificing for this the country, anywhere you are. And thank you so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for telling your friends. You know, like Thunder Rat Boy said, we make up a worldwide Thunder Army. And, you know, we've taken on that label. We say that to each other now. So thank you for inspiring us, because, you know, we believe that it's important to look at it like not just we all are together, but we all are participating in spreading the good news of this podcast, because our goal is to take over the game. We didn't come here to be number two. We're so happy that we hit our goal in the first 2 months, you know, to be number two, because that was our goal. We said we knew that most people weren't going to be paying attention to basketball while football was on. So we took the first month and we continued to refine our craft. But as soon as the Super Bowl was over, we knew that we had an opportunity, and we made a move. And that move was violent. That move was fast. And some people, even our biggest supporters, told us they didn't even think we could do it. But they love us, and they were there for us. And you know what? We weren't sure if we could do it either. But we knew. We wrote it down. It was our goal. And now we're one-on-one with Down to Dunk. And trust me on this one. They have never fucked with anybody like us before. We are not normal.
No, we're not. And this is something that Mark and I, we obsessed with before the season when we got together and we decided to do a podcast. Both of us started writing down in our notebooks. I don't know how many notebooks you filled out, Mark, but I know I have at least 9 notebooks that are completely filled out with information about the Oklahoma City Thunder. One of all, most of the information that I have in there is how we're going to take over the Oklahoma City Thunder podcast community, how we're going to make it so that our voice is heard and resonated throughout the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I promise you this, the most amazing thing about this whole thing is the way that Mark and I had sat down and decided how to go with stuff isn't something that we always agreed with. But guess what happened? Is the idea kept on blossoming, and it kept on blossoming, and it showed us the light, and it showed us the only way for us to be able to do this was go on the attack. And we've been on the attack ever since. We've been defending this team. We've been making sure that our voice is heard. And this is why we will continue, is because of the people like Dakota, because of the people like Tencho, because of the people like Rap Boy. Like, these guys are motivating us. Thunder Rap Boy, these guys are motivating us to continue to be better. We want to be able to make sure that everybody across the United States and the world that are Thunder fans hears our voice. This is why we're here. We're here for you guys. We're here to support the Oklahoma City Thunder and stand up for them no matter what. No matter if we're called the crazy podcast guys or the, we've been called autistic. We've been called retarded. We've been called so many names on Twitter and, you know, across the platforms that we're on. And the reason they do this is because they think that we're stupid because we're cheering for our team to go to the playoffs. That's it. They think that there's no way that two intelligent guys could get on a podcast and believe that a team like this can make the playoffs, especially in the West. We have belief. And that's why we're getting thrown under the bus. And what they've turned us into is martyrs. And that, to me, is why we're going to continue to do what we're doing, because eventually, when the light is turned on and everybody is able to see, it's going to be the storm, the last storm, as the number one Oklahoma City Thunder podcast and everybody else on the outside.
Yeah, and one of our main objectives when we got started with all of this was, like, we knew we weren't very good when we got started. I mean, we didn't have anything but our phones, and we were figuring it out. I mean, the way I've said this before, and I mean it, like, when you start skiing, if you're committed to not falling down, you're never going to be a successful skier. And I ski and I snowboard and I enjoy both. And I fall down a lot. It's not that I'm afraid of falling down, but now that I'm not afraid of falling down, I don't fall down as much anymore. And I can go down blues without falling down. That's great. It's fun time, right? But I'm not super fast or anything. I'm not claiming to be great. And the same thing here. We're not claiming to be great. But we recognize we fell down a lot, and we got ridiculed quite a bit for those mistakes. But I'll give you guys a little insight. You know, I study Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I read a lot. I try to read every book I have, and I have hundreds, thousands of books, honestly. But, you know, I haven't got to all of them yet. But, you know, I try to read about 50 books a year, and I usually hit that. And one of my favorite books is Sun Tzu. I've read it a couple of times, The Art of War. He wrote it. I think 500 BC, so, you know, quite a while ago, and it still resonates now. And I told everybody that would listen to this, even our opponents, like, this wasn't a secret, but they couldn't hear us, right? But my main goal early on was to make sure that the other podcasts underestimated us, because that's something Sun Tzu talks about, is if you can get your opponent to underestimate you, then you can walk in and beat them. And the other thing was, one of the other things that really inspired me that Sun Tzu wrote was, you win the war before you go to battle. And that was our goal. We knew we had the right ideas. We knew that we needed to refine our craft. And I wanted all of our opponents to find us before we refined our craft. I wanted them to look at us and say, there's never any way they can catch us. And then once they put a label on us, they can forget about us, and we will continue to get better every single day. We will get better. And by the time they look again, it's too late. It's too late. And right now, trust me, they're not even looking at us right now. We don't even register. Somehow we have moved all the way up to number two, and they still aren't looking. Why do you think that is? That's intentional. That's by design. I established it at the very beginning when I started spamming them and I started getting after them. And anybody who was an opponent, I went after, straight after. I wanted them to see us, and I wanted them to see us weak. And now that we are strong, what do they see? They see weakness. And trust me, we are stronger than any opponent they have ever had to face. And all they can do is dismiss us, and that will cost them everything. And thank you so much for joining us for this ride, because taking them down is so important when you listen to the vile and disgusting things they say about this team. They said this yesterday. I want you to hear this right before we go. This is how they defined our team and our success, by discrediting us by saying our opponents simply didn't even want to win the games against us. What the fuck is that about? Man, clearly these guys don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye. And then after a little bit of the music, you guys can hear them talking their stupid shit on the way out. If you don't want to hear it, I don't blame you. You can just end the fucking thing.
So before we go, too, Mark, I just want to throw this out here, because we've listened to their podcast for the last 3 years. They have talked negative for the last 3 years. And every single time that we go and we make the playoffs in the last 3 years, they change their tones. Like, oh, well, we wanted this team to make the playoffs, but we're happy if they don't so we get better draft picks. The tank mentality, right? So what Mark and I wanted to start off right away, and the thing that we wanted to do was we wanted to put them in a box so that they were able to say that they wanted this team to lose. And the second they were able to do that, it was game on. We recognized that was our starting point, and that was how we were going to be able to do this. They all fell for the bait. We were excited to be able to have that. And now we're sitting in a spot that we are sitting and talking to real, true Oklahoma City Thunder fans that want this team to win. And that is why we are the Last Storm. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. And I'm really proud to say thank you for all of our listeners. And I'm Dave.
And I'm Mark. And we're going to be back tomorrow after the Mavs game. It's going to be exciting. And we know that this team is going to go out there and compete. And that is something that the tankers hate. Thank you so much for joining us for the Last Storm. Thunder up.
Part of the Thunder's record is that this is a weird season. And you mentioned this on Thunder After Dark, that a lot of teams just aren't giving their 100% effort to this Thunder team. So not only is the season weird and there's a lot of players that aren't playing games, there's also nights where teams just aren't showing up. Yeah. And clearly Denver showed up against OKC on Saturday night. That was, excuse me, that was a crazy thumping by the Nuggets against OKC. And they wanted to win. But when it comes to the trade deadline, I still believe the Thunder would like to trade George Hill and probably Mike Muscala and Al Horford. I think that they would like to trade all of those guys. Teams that want to improve at the deadline, I think OKC is going to be there offering up these players. And maybe they'll get a deal done, maybe they won't. But all this to say, the Thunder have set the course of this team, of this franchise, whenever they traded Dennis Schroeder. And basically, they ended up getting Al Horford later on, but they did it to get the pick, so they get Pokuševski. They traded Steven Adams. They traded Chris Paul. They traded all those guys to set the course of this team. Even if this team, you feel like they're good and they're ready to compete, this team isn't anywhere close to competing at a high level.
No.
Just nowhere close to it. And if Shea is a good player, like a very good player, that's a top 10 player in the league, that's wonderful. It's still not enough. Yes, you're still not there. I mean, look at the Bucks. Even like look at Giannis and Middleton. Like you could say that Giannis and Middleton, the combination of the two, were two top 12 to 15, you know, top 15 players, with Giannis being in the top three and Middleton being like the 15th best player in the league. You know what? Yeah. Not enough.
Yeah,
still not enough.
And going back to the trade deadline, not having Al and George Hill will be extremely helpful for OKC in some to some degree.